We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, Blair here. Thanks for tuning in. I had a great discussion with David on this podcast, and we got to do a gauntlet draft, which is a lot of fun to listen to. One thing to note, there were some audio quality issues on David's microphone for the first 20 minutes or so. If you can tolerate that, the discussion is pretty good. If you'd rather not deal with that, then just skip ahead to about the 20-minute mark. There's a little discussion of Aiden O'Connell and the backup quarterbacks, and then we get into the gauntlet draft, which I think is pretty exciting and instructive in some ways as well. So please enjoy. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Report. We are without Hassan Raheem today, but it's all right. We have a very special guest. RotoViz writer David Filippi is joining us. You know him at this time from leaving insightful comments usually in our streams. Today he's on screen with us and joining us live. How's it going, David?
It's going good, Blair. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've been writing the kind of a dynasty version of the zero running back universe that Sean does, and that's been a lot of fun to read every week. I don't really know a question about that, but how's that been going? How have you found that, get digging into that data?
It's been a great challenge, and it's definitely helped me not miss weeks on the waiver wire or weeks of sending trade offers, because I was like, I need to perform here. I need to make sure I can, you know, back this up. And it's like, if I'm giving trade advice, it's like, okay, well, now I got to go try to do this. So I think it was, good all around. It was good for my play. I think it was good for respecting content producers, because one of the things I think is not discussed, especially in the whole conversation about, like, it came up recently, like, the whole debate, like, should fantasy analysts be showing their teams or talking about their fantasy teams? And, like, you know, no. It's kind of been this, like, oh, no one wants to hear about your teams. I'm like, no, I care most about people's actual play. Like, I even wrote them is because there's success behind the content. The content was based off of, like, here are strategies that won, and that they're still winning. So I, you know, kind of applied that stuff long ago when I first started to play fantasy. And then now trying to write articles when you could just be sending our trade offers or doing more weekly best ball drafts or whatever, you know, like, you're giving up your edge to the people. Because you have to validate that. You have to do all the homework that it would take to crush in fantasy. You have to find the time to actually play. So I have a huge amount of respect for people like you, people like Dave Caban and Sean. And, like, you know, you guys play at high volume, and maybe it's like a whole lot of money on the line if you look at it in terms of 1 year. But if you were to look at, you know, if you guys all dropped out and just played, oh man, look out, because, like, the process applied, you know, without having to produce the articles, produce all that stuff, like, you know, that's serious. So I know that Rotovis subscribers, if they're using all the tools, they're definitely getting their money's worth. They're reading all the articles, you know, they're making more good flex decisions than bad ones. So I think, you know, content, I'm trying to make content this year just in one weekly article has helped my play. But thinking about like doing more and more, like I feel bad for the fantasy analysts who have to like hold up their results, because I'm like, you guys get a pass. Like if I judge it to be helpful to make my play better, like I don't care if you lose. In fact, I prefer if you lose, just write articles, just make podcasts, don't play, don't be in the basketball rooms. You know, you see in these you see lately, you know, especially when everybody advanced, like all these sharks come out of the shadows with these 50 advancing 50 teams out of 150 entered. You're like, oh gosh, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. God. It's a interesting line you guys have to straddle, and I have a huge amount of respect for it, and I'm glad to be like playing a small little role in it. So
oh, definitely, yeah.
We get to do a little bit of playing and talking.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Stay tuned, everyone. We're gonna probably be ripping off a gauntlet draft later, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun to read your article and kind of like you said, even me just reading it, it does remind me to get on the waiver wire and get some trade offers in my dynasty leagues that I might forget to do otherwise. So. Yeah, that has been pretty helpful.
Yeah. You may be saved by playing Dynasty with other people who are also have a lot on their schedule writing your content wise, right?
Yeah, that's right. I want to, yeah, I guess we should start with the one guy who's pretty interesting discussion in Dynasty, and he had a good game today. James Cook rushed 25 times for 179 yards and a touchdown. He also caught a touchdown. Basically was the Bills' entire offense almost. You know, he's a guy who was going in that zero RB range in redraft this year, and probably prior to this game, you wouldn't have said necessarily that he's someone you'd be moving up a whole lot. But, you know, taking this into account, I guess, where are you looking to draft him in
Dynasty? This is game three, I think, right?
What's that?
I think it's game like three or four in a row where he's really performed, though, isn't it? I mean, this was just like the blow up game. But what were the last month look like?
Because yeah, he did like have a good
transition. Has been
that's right.
It running through Diggs and Kincaid. So you know what? It's actually running through just Allen and Cook.
No, that's right. He did have 83 receiving yards and a touchdown last week, as well as 100 scrimmage yards the week before. So he has been putting up definitely, you know, more than solid, or not the week before, but the game before, more than solid performances on these. Yeah, I don't know. I find myself kind of approaching him in Dynasty like, I know he's a good player. I don't know if I want to pay the prices that it's going to take to get him on a lot of my rosters.
Well, today is the difference maker, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was saying, made a comment on somebody's tweet last week, you know, that he maybe needed to go up a tier just where they had him in the dynasty ranks. And that was based off of the prior couple weeks where it was like, oh, he's going to give us 15 plus every week. He's going to go over 20 a bunch. But this was different. If this had happened in his rookie season, his dynasty value would have been huge. It would have been insane. So I don't know how to integrate this one yet.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
How many fantasy points did we get? It was like 40.
Right? It was almost 40. Right. Yeah. 36.1 PPR maybe, depending on your scoring settings.
Yeah.
Yeah, close to 40. Yeah, I mean, you can kind of see a scenario in which he's taking more of the work. You know, Diggs is getting older. I assume they'll probably be trying to add some more receiving help in the off season, just because kind of Diggs has been their entire receiving core, apart from a few good Gabe Davis games. So, Yeah. Do you think the receiving workload that Cook is getting here is sustainable long term?
To me, it's more about it meaning he is going to actually be key in the offense, at least throughout the course of his rookie contract. Mm-hmm. Because that's really what, you know, the question was to me back early in the season when he wasn't doing much. And I can remember turning down somebody who's trying to trade him for in Superflex tight end premium for a second, for my second, or a second that I had. And I wouldn't do it because right. I was just like, nah. And now that's just, you know, that would have been a steal in the light of what I see happening now. But that was because at that time, and even as recently, I think, as right after Thanksgiving, you guys were discussing his value and like the question of, you know, does a mid-round rookie or a second-round rookie come in and kind of replace him as the 1A or make him just part of a timeshare? And I think what I've seen, not just the usage, but the actual performance and how good he's looked, to me, that says, no, he's going to play out his rookie contract. He'll be a good candidate for one of those, like, couple-year extension type things. And if they bring in another guy, that guy is to be what Latavius Murray and Ty Johnson are doing, essentially, because James Cook has now proven that he is what we thought he was when we were kind of on him, not crazy, not like Gibbs, you know. So like Gibbs is now like, I think Gibbs is what we thought he was. But now Cook is like, oh, maybe he's what we thought he was and a little more.
Yeah. You know?
So it's exciting, I think.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Gibbs is a guy we talk about, you know, like competing for, I don't know, the overall RB1 spot in Dynasty in, you know, in going into like startups next year. It's hard to see Cook getting up to that value, but definitely exciting what he's been able to do.
And he shouldn't. And I don't think he's as talented.
Right.
But he seemed to have, They seem to integrate him into the offense properly at this point. And I don't know, it's clicking. And I don't know, I didn't catch a whole lot of that game, but I feel like I saw like Kincaid drop one or, you know, just the way Allen plays, having Cook out there feels like a real easy option for him because he's not just like a check down, like Allen can get out scrambling and then Cook can, you know, get racing down the sidelines or whatever. Like they can do a lot together. So it's like we have that whole question about like how capped is he because of the rushing touchdowns that go to Allen. Well, if he's gonna get receiving touchdowns, like that bails us out.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, right. For sure. I want to move on to another running back who put up a pretty big game today, yesterday. Ty Chandler had a nice game in relief of Madison, 132 yards and a touchdown. We were talking a little bit about Chandler off air, and I was saying it seems like it probably is he's just having this kind of game because Madison has been out. But on the other hand, I mean, Madison last year and a lot of this year has looked pretty bad, and Chandler, on the other hand, has been fairly efficient with his touches. Do you think it's meaningful that he could come in to this role and play so well, a lot better than Madison ever did?
I do think it's meaningful. I do. And I think it's similar to Cook in the sense of where they are in their contracts. And then from a team standpoint of like, you're coming down to the end of a season that's like kind of a lost year. You know, you're going to have to look to the future. And like, if you have that guy that you drafted last year, and he's working out for you, and you can just check that box, like, okay, Madison, you know, he's there still. Like they have him under contract, but like, yeah, it's like Ty Chandler. He can take 25 plus touches and he can do this for us. Okay. Like, you know, that means like, they don't have to think about money necessarily for running back. They don't necessarily have to think about draft capital for running back. That's big, I think, from a team building standpoint at this point in the year to just like not prioritize replacing him. So I think it means really good things for him for next year. Mm-hmm. And people always are talking about you can't play the running back position that far out anyway. So, yeah, I think it's pretty huge.
Yeah, definitely. Chandler was a guy that was pretty interesting from a dynasty perspective, at least as a sleeper. You definitely want to be holding. Coming into the season, it wasn't clear he'd have a role, but, well, actually, I guess that's not right because they didn't have Cam Akers when the season started. So even at the beginning of the season, it was looking like Chandler might be the RB2. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited to see him.
I think what you mean is like we were lonely. The Chandler people were lonely.
That's right.
You believed, right? I mean, you believed.
Definitely.
It felt a little bit inevitable that Madison was not going to hold him back all the way. And he didn't, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure.
He was breaking through anyway.
Yeah, he was. I mean, it was a little bit kind of troubling that Minnesota decided they wanted to add Akers, who at the time seemed like a back who was just kind of another Madison, pushing Chandler down the depth chart, even though he was probably the most talented guy there, or at least I thought. But I definitely think that he made it so that Minnesota had to get him on the field, and now he kind of has proved it. Jordan Addison had 111 yards for and two touchdowns in this game. He's coming on. Started to come on strong in Jefferson's absence. Now with Jefferson back, even though Jefferson had more of the targets, we saw Addison have this huge game on only six targets. My question is kind of whether Addison and Jefferson can share the field and have big games at the same time. Maybe we would have seen more of that. Cousins had stayed healthy, you know, with backup quarterbacks, it's a little more difficult. But do you think Addison can be like a legit wide receiver too, the way we saw kind of Devontae Smith or T. Higgins going in the second and third round?
I think so, yeah. Why not? I think one of the things I've been thinking about a lot, especially because you guys are having the conversation about like upcoming ADP and people are talking about different dynasty wide receiver values. And I'm just looking at this next rookie class and how we keep wanting to crown different guys or be like, this is the alpha on this team. And then another guy gets added in and we're like, oh, well, no, that's not going to work. And then they both produce, but maybe it is a bit capped, or maybe it's like 1 week's one guy, 1 week's another guy. And so I wonder what it's going to look like over a couple year trend of like how flat. It's almost like I wonder if the wide receiver two scoring is going to kind of go up, but like there's going to be like a larger, flatter tier. And so meanwhile, the running back pool is almost getting like scarcer, the guys that we really want to crown. So like to me, I wonder how it impacts. It's just like I'm thinking about it. The more we get these receivers that can put up those games, like we want them in volume. Basketball and stuff, but when it comes to valuing them and moving around as pieces in dynasty, you know, if you get yourself enough rookie picks, you're always going to be able to keep getting these guys, and you're even going to be able to weather some of the misses, because you can miss on, let's say in your draft you drafted Quentin Johnson in the first round, we got Rashad Bateman catch, nice, I like to see it. You drafted Quentin Johnson in the first round, but then you got Rashi Rice in the second round or something. You know, maybe you missed, but maybe you didn't on Johnson, but you feel like great about hitting on Rice, you know. And then it's like, well, where do we even value Rice? He plays with Mahomes. And Kelsey's, you know, on his last, you know, in the last chapter of his career, however long that is. So, yeah, I really like Addison in Dynasty, but any of these guys, I'm not really. I want to get them through the rookie drafts. I don't want to be trading for them afterwards and paying first plus and all that, because it's like, no, I want to use that first on Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze or whatever, you know, whoever it's going to be, however it's going to shake out, you know. And I want to keep doing that as the perpetual reloading. So
for sure,
Addison
for sure.
Should have been part of your perpetual reloading this year. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I think it's often difficult to get into a kind of perpetual reloading mindset with these young wide receivers who look really strong in their rookie seasons, like Rice, you mentioned, like Addison. I mean, if these guys are going to be long-term hits that, you know, you want to keep on your dynasty teams for a long time, those are guys that I want to keep. But it is smart to kind of to think about recharging your team and not necessarily holding on to these guys. I'm trying to think about, I guess, where we value guys like Addison and Rashee Rice after the games they've had and after the seasons they've put up. I mean, you know, it was hard to get some of our favorite rookie wide receivers last year, or going into their second year. It was hard to get them later than, I don't know, some of our favorites later than the fifth or sixth round. So given the seasons that Addison and Rice have had, I almost feel like they might be even more expensive. So kind of looking forward to best ball season, are you going to be in on these guys at, say, a fifth round price or maybe even higher?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Rice, well, let me ask you, how high can Rice go between now and potentially a Super Bowl? Because he has potentially seven games left, right?
Right.
Seven games left. He could go way up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So he could be a third round pick. And then Addison, yeah, I don't think he could go higher than five.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Addison's situation is tricky because of Jefferson being there as well. With Rice, you see a guy who is probably Mahomes' wide receiver one. They don't have a lot of other receivers. Kelce is going to be 35 or something. It does seem like you could get Rice steamed up into the third round in best ball drafts or something like that. Yeah, the other guy that I think we do want to talk about, or the game we want to talk about, is this Oakland, not Oakland, what am I saying, Oakland, Las Vegas game, where we have the Raiders putting up 63 points, Aiden O'Connell leading the charge there, quarterback that I think maybe a lot of us hadn't even heard of before the season started, and in super flex leagues, you're kind of scrambling to learn what you can about this guy to see if he's worth putting on the roster. Leading the Raiders with four touchdowns, 248 yards. It's these late round quarterbacks are always, I think, pretty tough to value in dynasty as well, in super flex leagues, especially because O'Connell may have just had the best game of his career or something, or certainly one of the best games of his career. He doesn't have the pedigree necessarily to prove that he can be a long-term viable fantasy starter. The way I'm kind of approaching guys like O'Connell and even Easton Stick, who played against him, I think is one of kind of measured skepticism. Like, I'm optimistic that we'll see more games like this from O'Connell, more games like this from guys like Stick. But even after this game where the Raiders put up 63, I still kind of want to see more out of him before I'm going to feel comfortable. I'm kind of trying to think about him from a dynasty perspective, and whether we should believe this performance against a Chargers team that has basically given up the season already, or are you still skeptical about his talent the way I am a little bit?
So, I mean, I have to be somewhat skeptical about his talent, but that's like, you got to do that to everybody, I think. In who, you know, people had huge skepticism about Sam Howell going into this year, and then, you know, it looked like us Sam Howell truthers were doing good, and today was not such a great day for those of us.
Yeah.
I think I would be trying to approach it more from a question of like where, what makes sense for the organization right now. And I don't know how to project. I don't like, if I was a Rangers guy, I'd probably have a clear take, right? I don't know how they'll operate, but what I see is that
right.
I see like a player oriented coach who's also probably forward thinking in terms of like, I'm going to keep my foot on the gas to the extent that I can. Now, we just saw 2 weeks ago, they couldn't do anything, but once he was able to, they were able to score points, and they were like, we're going to score points. And that's what the Lions did even last night. And I think that the Eagles' failure to practice doing it, it's like you have to practice blowing teams out, because football, you get so few reps. And if you don't practice doing that to teams on the big stage, then how are you going to just have it in your bag when you need it? So I think, you know, Aiden O'Connell being part of Antonio Pierce, like building this thing, it makes, it gives him a much better shot than if it was just, if he was Easton Stick. Like Easton Stick is in a way worse, you know, situation to have. I mean, we also don't need to, I don't want to make their performances seem analogous, because they really were not in any way, shape or form. It was just that one guy got pushed to the, and the biggest like garbage time deficit you could imagine, you know, having to make up. So there was room to score. But yeah, I think O'Connell being in maybe the right place, the right time, if he can win a couple more games, you know, if he could, you know, I don't know who are their opponents. Well, they got the Colts in the end of the, you know, week 17, but who are they playing next week?
They're at Kansas City next week, at Indianapolis week 17, and then tough. home against Denver. So yeah.
So I mean, a win in any one of those games goes a long, long way for him, I think.
For sure.
And not making mistakes. So not losing the games. It's one thing if he can't win them, but like if he, the fewer mistakes he makes. So yeah, there's a chance there. I think it's more just, it shows you need to try to add the Aiden O'Connell types when they appear and not be like, oh, that guy's not going to be anything. You gotta try to get them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, these guys, you think about, I mean, you know, Brock Purdy last year was playing, I think, a lot better even than O'Connell has been for most of the season until Thursday. But yeah, that's another good example of a guy who kind of comes out of nowhere and ends up, whether because of his own play or because of how successful the team is with him. A guy that you have to pick up.
Yeah. But Purdy's in like the, I mean, that's as good as it gets, right?
You're
like
right.
In being with Shanahan. I mean, even look at like Mullins. Does Mullins get to play in Minnesota? You know, I don't know. Is it chicken and egg? Like, do you have to be good enough to play for Shanahan in the first place? Or he got to be with Shanahan, that got him to be with O'Connell, and then he got another chance, you know?
Yeah.
So Purdy, I mean, is any quarterback's dream to be with Shanahan. I think like that's been the stereotype, and I don't think it's incorrect, but yeah, I'm also not in any way trying to suggest Purdy isn't doing this through his own talent as well. I think he absolutely is.
Right. How do you kind of balance that approach with picking up these quarterbacks that seem to be doing something with also avoiding a lot of the busts that come along with that? Or is that just a cost that you're willing to eat if you're picking up quarterbacks in Dynasty?
I think so. It was interesting to see the size of bids on guys this week, because there was a range of them. You know, lots of people don't have any budget left.
Right.
So they weren't able, you know, but a lot of people, if they were empty in the clip, if they had anything left. So, you know, and like Easton Stick, I mean, he still scored over 20 points in most formats, right? Like, I don't know. Like you can't place such a premium on the position that they are the top of startup drafts and then not add guys that are going to get starts. Like it's just like we add the running backs that are going to get starts and quarterback starts, the floor should be higher. So even though we're overvaluing the top of the position in Superflex, maybe you know, in some weird logic, we're undervaluing the back end because it's like we have to prop up the idea that those top guys are actually worth that much. Right. So the replacement level guys can't be worth that much, or no, they can't. You know, it's like, I don't know, you know, I can't think of a season where there was so many backup quarterback points scored,
right?
You know, not just backup quarterback starts, because there have been bad seasons, but like people have scored points and then they faded away and then they've been in the back on the bench. But in the meantime, you know, they've gotten you through.
That's right.
People are going to, people's fantasy seasons are going to hinge somewhat on Joe Flacco. Like, that's crazy, but it's true.
That's insane. Yeah. Yeah. Flacco, man. I mean, I did pick him up in some leagues where I was really desperate and it didn't feel good, and I'm happy I did. So there you go.
It's surreal. I wouldn't have believed it. Like, I wouldn't have believed it in 2023.
Crazy.
But then I heard he's only 38, right? I mean,
yeah, he could play another six or seven years, right?
Yeah.
We are fast approaching the holiday season. We're always looking for the perfect gifts for those near and dear to us, our families and friends. And what could be better than a ticket to a live event? We're heading towards the crucial weeks of the NFL season, and there's so much sports going on, but there's also concerts, comedy, theater, so many other things that you can go and get a ticket to this time of year. It can be stressful looking for tickets, getting the best price, the best seats, trying to figure everything out to have the best experience. But it doesn't have to be like that, because buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to get tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for all the fun you will have. They have exclusive flash deals. They have the Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find a ticket in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Buying tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps on their app and you're set. So whether it's for a gift or whether it's just to treat yourself this holiday season, snag tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RotoViz for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code RotoViz for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You want to hop into a gauntlet draft? Let's fire one up.
Sounds good.
Now, you mentioned that you've done a few of the mittens. Is that right? So I'm hoping that you you have some strategy for this that you can guide me here.
Is this your first?
This is the first draft one I've done this season. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, that, okay. Well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Niners were, I had gotten a start where I got, Debo, Ayuk, and then Purdy and Kittle came back, and I was feeling so good that I got distracted, and I don't think I brought it home well, because they really are looking very good for a bye, especially with Hurts questionable tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you kind of, I mean, I would love to, I love the idea of stacking Niners, but
right,
they are looking like they're not going to be very usable to get through the round one. So Eagles, Chiefs, you know, being that they will likely play in the first weeks, like that's a good,
right,
good one to play.
Cowboys losing today. Yeah. You think that makes it, does that make them more attractive in that they're just less likely to get a bye?
So I kind of like, you know, everyone seems to want to be like, you have to play for the Super Bowl. And so you got to try to like pick two sides.
Right.
I think that it's so hard to actually get teams to be alive in the last week that if you want to just play, these are the teams that are going to be in the conference championship. And then you, you know, really low have a like, let's say that Niners team I had managed to stack up a bunch of Cowboys with, or yes, Cowboys and Eagles. So it was like, these, you know, I'm going to have a lot of live players, at least in the championship round. And then maybe I only have four live players within the Super Bowl, but if they're the right four, right, you know, you can still score pretty highly. So yeah, I don't mind playing. You know, you obviously, even more so than in, than the normal best ball, you have to take what is given to you. So it's like, if you get McCaffrey, you got to play McCaffrey. I mean, one thing that's, I'm seeing, it looks like Tyreek's ADP is starting to fall. And I think it makes sense. I don't, it's hard for me to play the Dolphins all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good for them to get a win today without him, a convincing win, get a good performance from Waddle. But if anything, that just means like, well, you know, he's hurt right now and Waddle played well, and just get Waddle later. So
right,
yeah, I don't like right, getting going for him that high up.
Yeah,
I don't really sense, like taking Kelsey to me. I'd rather draft Rice. I'd rather stack Mahomes, Rice straight up, because you don't have to.
Yeah.
I'd rather take one conference.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You stack up an Eagle and a Chief.
That makes sense. Yeah. So you're trying to think about who do you see getting to the Super Bowl and kind of maybe an AFC and an NFC stack, right?
I mean, that's the ideal. That's the ideal. But you, if it's going to be easier to actually score points playing just one conference, then do that, you know?
Right.
I mean, the Cowboys have five players, I think, that are interesting to draft.
Yeah.
The Niners have five players. It's the running back is tough. Running back is really tough. It feels so tough. You want to see Keaton Mitchell do something tonight.
Definitely.
So that you can feel good about getting him up, you know, taking him a little earlier. Because, yeah, I
definitely,
mean, McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire scoring today. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's tough. I guess McKinnon, you're hoping for a game with a lot of passing, and you can go that route. Draft is underway. We got the 105.
Right, we're live.
We are moving. Have you picked from the 105 yet?
I think so. I think I've typically been back here.
Yeah.
At five or six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten McCaffrey yet.
So at five, you mentioned that Tyreek Hill's ADP is slipping a little bit. He's someone who it looks like will probably be there. Kelsey, you said you wanted to avoid. Oh, there goes Hill 103. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would love Lamb.
Lamb would be nice.
Because, you know, he should be playing week one. He'll probably go here.
Are you looking, assuming it's Lamb, are you looking to skip the Niners here and go straight to like AJ Brown?
No, I think you could get a Niner, and you could either, you know what, you could try and stack the Niners and just see what happens. Because that's what I would do. I would just take Debo and just see what happens.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Let's do Debo. Maybe we could even, I mean, Purdy is probably going pretty late, right?
No, that was what was weird about
he's right there.
As the fourth Niner that I did. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got him and Kittle at like 18 in my third and fourth picks after getting Debo and in AU.
Right. So here we have a choice between, I guess, Ayuk and Purdy. You want to get the QB here, or what are you thinking?
Well, that's what I did last time. I took the receiver. I just doubled up on the receiver, you know, because the advantage of doing that is you could potentially play Lamar. You don't know, right? Or you could play Tua, you know. So I don't know. You make your call. I'm good with either one.
Okay, we're going Ayuk
receiver.
Then. All right, we got a Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk team from the 105. In this contest, you do end up starting two wide receivers. And only one running back, one flex, one QB, and then five bench spots. So it does make sense to go after receiver early, I think. Am I thinking about that the right way?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And then it's just like you're playing it that you have those two in the Super Bowl. So you can still have the AFC side open, you know.
Right. Man, is that AJ Brown at 205?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, you still got Kittle. I mean, it's hard when you see if you see him still there, it's hard to pass on him because it's like, well, if they get there, you
know? Right. Exactly.
But Lamar, I would take if he made it all the way. Then though, the problem is then you got to have a week one quarterback, but you could take Joe Flacco, you
know, in the last round. That's right. Oh man, that would be something to draft Joe Flacco
to make it work
and have to. Yeah.
No, to do it on stream, you could say it's for the show. If you did it in the dark by yourself, that's right.
Oh man,
What are your thoughts on getting so much bye week potentially with Lamar if he comes all the way back?
Yeah.
Well, we're only 9 seconds away.
That is a little tricky.
We've got Allen. I mean, we've got Dak. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Allen's a better play.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. They did
got Rashi. Today. Rashi.
Right. Oof. You would rather do one of those two than Kittle?
Yeah, because then we have something from the AFC that's live in week one.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
That should score points. And he should score more points than a lot of these guys.
All right, let's do that. He probably would have made it back to us at our next pick, but that's okay. Get the guys you want. No sense waiting. Now,
I also think it means, you know, you can play some Chiefs running backs later.
Mm-hmm,
dirty Chiefs running backs.
Right. It's a good call.
Click on the running back tab.
Yeah.
So I just want to see the running. Yeah, see, look, I mean, we could play a Bills Chiefs AFC Championship. Is there a path for that?
I don't know yet. Probably.
Allen and James Cook.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I'm good with that.
What are the paths to miss the playoffs right now? I don't really.
After winning today, it's obviously easier. Let's see, we are on the clock, 24 seconds. So let me see if I can figure it out.
I almost want to get James Cook. Oh, it's tough. I worry about him.
Okay.
Oh, that's really hard.
What are you thinking? Cook is at the top of the queue.
Maybe you need. Allen. He's ahead in ADP.
All right, we got Allen. A little bit of a reach, maybe. Let's let
James Cook come back.
Yeah, I think.
We're doing it for James Cook. We talked about James Cook tonight. We got to try to make it happen.
Right. Let's see. Trying to see this. ESPN has this playoff picture thing, but hasn't been updated yet. Playoff machine. Bills win. I don't know. Even after the win, are they still on the outside looking in for a playoff spot? That doesn't really make sense, does it?
I don't know. I remember the odds seemed weird to me. Like they still had like an uphill battle somewhat, but that's why it's hard to do these at this time.
You know? Right.
But it's also like maybe how you get super teams, you know?
Exactly. I do think the Bills.
I mean, if Allen had a bye locked up, he'd be what? Fifth, third? Like where would he go?
Right,
or not a bye locked up, but the playoff spot.
Like the playoff. Up. Yeah. He'd be one of the top.
Yeah.
one of the top picks for sure. Yeah, I mean, week 16, they play the Chargers, so they should be able to win that one. Patriots in week 17 is not an easy matchup. And then Dolphins in week 18, also not easy. So it is definitely an uphill battle, not only in terms of kind of their current record, but also in terms of their upcoming schedule. But yeah, I'm okay with it. All right.
Yeah. What choice
right now? We lost.
He's gone.
Lost Cook. We are on the clock. Kind of.
A little stranded.
Yeah, not a lot of guys to stack up. I mean, man, could go Mitchell, but week one bye probably. ETN is always interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Gibbs, you know, we can turn to the Lions. We can pivot to the Lions.
All right, let's do that. I like Gibbs.
One of the things about these, if you're doing them in volume, is just, and I didn't do gauntlets in volume, but like I did more mittens. And sometimes it's like, you know what? This isn't going how I want. Let me try to get the points to at least get this one back, you know?
Right.
And not have it be a complete disaster. And, you know, you might anger your draft mates because you're going to pick picks that they say don't work, can't win. Right. But you know what? They can get you your entry fee back.
Yeah, for sure.
So that you live to draft another draft.
All right. I added some.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
some Lions. We can go Laporta and bet on Goff getting back to us, right?
I like it.
Although, yeah, I guess we do want to draft another QB because Allen might not even make the playoffs. It'd be one thing if you could get a QB who was like definitely already in and also almost certainly didn't have a week one bye. Then maybe you could get away with drafting one.
But isn't that Flacco?
Yeah, right. Oh man. That would be an interesting strategy. Only Flacco as your quarterback.
What is the Chiefs path back to if the Ravens win tonight, can the Chiefs get the one seed?
If the Ravens win tonight, let's see. Probably they can. I mean, if we assume the Ravens lose the rest of their matchups and the Chiefs win.
Right.
Let's just see if this ESPN playoff machine is kind of helpful. If you can figure out how it works, it's not always obvious. Yeah. I mean, the only thing is that the Ravens do play Miami in week 17. So if Miami beats the Ravens, then I think they would get the one seed probably. So it's even if the Ravens lose and the Chiefs win the rest of their games, it still is not.
It's not really the Chiefs. Yeah, so that's why the Chiefs to get. That's why it's kind of weird that Mahomes and Rice is as low as he is, and that it's not like Mahomes, Rice, Kelsey, kind of closer to the top there. I would think that people would still almost like the Chiefs better than the Ravens to make it back. Just based on what they've done, the history, you know?
Right, yeah,
that I makes think sense. For me, I probably still, if we're going to do the Bills here, I probably like Kincaid better.
Okay, we don't have to if you have another thought. I was just adding some guys we might want to the queue, but if you...
We're kind of in there. I mean, what is the... we have one running back only right now, right? What's the Rams path? We haven't even talked about Rams. Jeez,
that's right.
It's so hard to do these right now.
I know.
It's so hard.
You said, what's the Rams path? So
we got a Ram now.
I put Kyron in the queue and we got him.
We've got a Ram now.
We can still get Kincaid, but we are, I mean, you definitely want to get more of the wide receiver tight end, I think, right?
Yeah, oh, you don't have to take a, we're going to have to take a,
just looking. Stafford is still down there.
Ty Johnson, Latavius Murray.
Yeah, the running backs.
Oh man.
We're going to get Kincaid.
Yes, we did. Kincaid here.
I mean, I'm looking like the Falcons don't have a great path to the playoffs, especially after losing today. Maybe they even are knocked out, kind of. Getting Bijan would be not, you know, like it at that price if somehow they make it.
No, I think the Falcons are knocked. Aren't they knocked out? I think they're eliminated, aren't they?
Well,
Rashad White, I remember taking at the end. I think I took White as a round 10 pick.
Yeah, I like that.
But right. The problem is this team's not going to have any running back left once the Rams and the Lions are gone. If we're trying to play a Bills Niners Super Bowl.
I mean, it's kind of gross, but we could take. Yeah. Oh boy.
Or do you even bother? Do you take do you just, oh man. Cause I mean, there's nobody here that would even be alive in the championship round
for this is pretty, this gets bad pretty quick.
One of the Texans, Devin Singletary.
Yeah. Right.
You can't. Yeah. Cook. We should have taken Cook.
Probably right.
And played a Lions.
Bills, we don't have it. We don't have any Cowboys. Maybe that doesn't make sense. Lions, Bills, Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, anything could happen. A lot of games left. You want to go White here, or you think we should look elsewhere?
I mean, White increases the advance rate. Latavius is the guy if you're actually playing for the future. So it's like, you know, is this a burnt draft? If it's a burnt draft, you take White. If you think it's got a chance, you take Murray.
Let's see if we can get them both. We got White there. We have one pick left. Yeah,
I like skipping Clyde.
Yeah. Okay. We have one pick left. We could try and get another quarterback. We could take, I don't even know who makes sense. We could take Flacco or Stafford. Or we could take Murray.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
I mean, I think, yeah.
If we're playing for the Bills to do something, which we kind of are since we have Allen, maybe it makes sense to go Murray just, here and hope for some touchdowns. Well. All right. So this is maybe an exercise in what not to do.
it's inevitable. That's why the mitten is great, because you do this for $5 instead of $25. It's still like when you're trying to ask yourself who you get 2 weeks from now, you're not just asking yourself who's in the playoffs, but you've got certain teams that are cut out, and now you're getting closer to who's playing who, you know, what are the potential paths, and that makes it a lot easier to like feel like you know what you're doing, you know.
Right. So the team for listeners, we have Josh Allen at quarterback, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyren Williams, Rashad White, Latavius Murray at running back, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Rashee Rice, Sam Laporta, and Dalton Kincaid round out the team. I mean, the players are guys I love. This is a team I would love to have if we had been a little bit smarter about.
If it was scored as just, you know, cumulative scoring or for the first 2 weeks.
Right. If you get to use some of the regular season format.
It is. It's a tough exercise, because it's like you're blocked in week one from using a bunch of the best players, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you look at the first round with CMC, Debo, I mean, in top 10 ADPs, you have four Niners or like 11. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Purdy was like 10 and a half. And if they're not there in week one, it's like there's going to be so many Niners teams that just don't advance because it's, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have those points, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I wonder if there's any value this early out in just kind of going after the teams that are expected to be number one seeds, kind of in hopes that if they lose a game or two, they'll drop down and you will have gotten that extra game kind of at a discount. But you're not really seeing a discount on the Niners. So it doesn't seem to work that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like even if it had been a couple of days ago versus a couple of days from now, maybe there's a little bit of an adjustment, you know. Maybe with the Ravens, they're looking, they're off to a good start here, you know, maybe with another win.
Right.
The Chiefs start to rise a little bit when it looks like, you know, the Chiefs are going to be there the whole way. I mean, I'm inclined to draft, I'm worried about my Eagles. Mm-hmm. So I'm inclined to go heavier on Chiefs. You know, Mahomes and Rice to me should start to be a more sought after pair, such that like,
yeah,
they should be at the turn, you know? Cause that's yeah, like that makes sense. Combo that could go the whole way. Or if, you know, if you want to bet on the Bills, if it starts to become like clearer that they have that path again, we're, you know, I feel a little silly talking about it, not knowing. Maybe somebody's like out there, like, this is what the path is, you know? I don't know.
Or paying better attention than we are, who know what something we're missing. But, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces here. So anything can happen. You know, we have this team that looks pretty bad right now, but who knows if Josh Allen and the Bills can make a run and make a playoff run, maybe we'll be all right.
It's disorienting too, because like we think of, it's easy to think of the season like it's going to be over in week 17, you know,
yeah.
But like the week 18 games matter a lot for these drafts, for how these That's teams, right. you know, get put together, you know?
That's right. That's right. All right. Yeah, that was fun. Hopefully I'll get in some more of these and maybe they'll look a little better once I have figured out this playoff format and all the scenarios. But
the key is to take the screenshot of the team while it looks good in the process of building it, and don't show how it turns out.
That's right. That's right. You know, I'm happy. These are all guys I like. Like I said, I'm happy to be rooting for all these players. So it's a win from that perspective.
Yeah. Maybe we should, maybe Rashad White, final dynasty thoughts on him since they both ended up on here on this team.
That's right. Yeah. Rashad White and Kyren. I mean, they're both kind of surprising this season. I don't know. What's your take on either of these guys?
It's probably a similar situation to Chandler, or, you know, just that where they are in the contract.
Yeah.
If the team can just ride them, you know, why not? So, yeah, it's tough. Probably they were buy lows all year. And I don't know about the offseason. The lack of running backs, well, I don't know. We're in a time right now, and I'm not really in any dynasty leagues that have trading open right now, but we're in a time where there's a perceived lack of running backs coming in. So yeah. Those guys should be worth more now, like a Kyren or Rashad White. Maybe that perception will change over the next couple months, and we'll be like, oh, actually, there's five guys that we're really excited about. Now.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now, if you can still trade for them or trade them away, I think it's interesting to go in either direction. You know, if someone wants to pay a lot, you know, maybe you trade them away. If people are still looking to trade them, you know, maybe you get them and they're, you know, going to be good scores for the next couple of years. So
yeah they're both guys who, you know, we talked about the perpetual reloading earlier, and they both strike me as guys that you would want to try to move off your team at a good price pretty soon in order to restock, especially you know, like you said, this coming class maybe doesn't look so good at the running back position, but I mean, if I can get an early pick to spend on a wide receiver, trade Kyren Williams for a pick that turns into Marvin Harrison Jr., then I'm all about that. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah. But. No, that's probably not. But I guess it's like, would you trade him for the 112 in Superflex?
In Superflex, yeah. Yeah, that's a close one. I think that's where it becomes a pretty close discussion. You know, all of these guys who are late round picks, I'm thinking, you know, go back to a guy like Philip Lindsay, who played well for Denver. And even so, they kind of, you know, after a couple seasons, they drafted Javonte over him, and he was kind of out of there. So I don't know, you know, that probably has something to do with the kind of draft pedigree. And so from that perspective, you worry about a guy like Kyren, who wasn't a high pick, who doesn't have a lot of that capital behind him. White was a little bit earlier, so maybe he has some more staying power. But, you know, both of these teams, I think, are candidates to add guys in the draft in third or fourth round or something. So it wouldn't be that surprising to see both of these guys lose some value. So maybe the 112 is fair.
Yeah, I think Yeah, I think you have to. And that's what's hard, because like I'm saying that about Kyren's had some monsters. They've both had some really big games.
Yep.
But yeah, with the way the class looks, with the number of quarterbacks that may be coming in. And again, that's, you know, we're going back to the conversation about the value of quarterbacks in Dynasty. But a lot of it is that if you keep making the trades, then it's safe to always be turning these guys over, you know. But you can't stop, you know. It's like you have to turn the running back into the quarterback, but then you have to remember that the quarterback is overvalued, so then or potentially overvalued, so then you might have to turn the quarterback into, you know, another quarterback and a pick that can become that other running back that you then turn into the pick again. But yeah, the quarterbacks and the receivers are just like, once you make that conversion of position, you're safer, even if you literally lose all the production. Like from a value standpoint, you are safer. So I think it's right that you probably have to trade both of them. And it feels weird to say that, because it was totally valid if you traded that late first to get them going in the playoffs,
right,
to potentially win. And it may have been a move that worked out for you, you know.
Yeah.
But if you can turn around and then do it again at the end of the season, you know, buy them, you score with them, and then trade them away, you know, that's probably the way to do it. But it's really hard to make a move, because I mean, my brother and I got bailed out of a Damian Pierce acquisition from last year, but we tried to like buy into Pierce last year to get some production. No, we didn't pay a first, but it was like, you know, like a second kind of trade, something like that. Actually, it may have been more. I think we traded Ayuk, and it was, you know, there was more to the deal, but you know, we knew we were sort of overpaying for a running back at the time. And then somebody came along and bailed us out. But it's hard. A lot of times you try to buy that running back production, and then turns out you didn't get it, you know?
For sure. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, so tricky to say you should be selling these guys after the seasons they've put up, but I mean, we've seen a lot of examples of how quickly that production can just fall off a cliff. So you definitely want to be on the early side with these guys.
Yeah. That's why I like having a bunch of teams, you know, you trade them away when you can get a good return, and then you wait for the opportunities where maybe somebody's tired of them or whatever,
you know,
buy the dip somewhere else, so to speak. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining. You want to tell everyone where they can find you and interact with you?
Well, I've been getting more active on Twitter. I'm still choosing to call it that generally. And so at DPhilippi there, writing on RotoViz, probably a couple more as the fantasy season winds down. And then been starting to cover some of the next year's running back. So trying to keep up with that. Awesome. Trying to figure out who these guys are that we're going to draft and then trade again. Keep that perpetual reload going.
That's right. Never ends. All right. Well, thanks again. Thank you so much, everyone, for hanging out. And we will talk at you next week.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.